Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should.
Great, thank you. Okay, John, did you spot the clothing that is mentioned in there? I should say as well, because it's an all-age service, we're expecting a little bit of noise and people to be kind of wriggling around, and that is fine. And adults, that is fine if you need a bit of a wriggle, a bit of wander as well. We're okay with that here. There is a creche as well, should you get too wriggly, Kewan. There is a crash, if you need it. Okay, what was the clothing that was mentioned? What was the clothing that was mentioned? Any spot items of clothing that was mentioned? Anybody other than my family? Anybody? Adults, what clothing was mentioned? Belts, yes, and what was it all part of? It was all part of armour. We had lots of mention of armor. Now, in the Bible, God gives us lots of pictures of what living following Jesus is like. In some parts of the Bible, God says that living as a Christian is being like a tree or a plant, that we're to be planted and rooted in Jesus. It's one picture in the Bible. And another picture that God gives us of living the Christian life is... Well, we've seen this already. Running a race. So God says following Jesus is like running a race. We also get told that following Jesus is a bit like being sheep following a shepherd. But this morning, we're told that the Christian life is not just like, but the Christian life is a war, a battle. That the Christian life is a battle, a war. This morning. Do you see that? Who is the battle against as well? Who is the battle against? We're told, aren't we, in verse 12, it is against the devil. So Christians this morning, we are in a war, a battle. The Christian life is like a battle against the devil, against evil. Now let's have our first picture up on the screen. Because it's useful to know what the devil likes to do. Verse 12, we're told, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, so we're not fighting against people, but our struggle is against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So if we're a Christian, we're in a fight, and we're in a fight against evil and evil's forces in the heavenly realms. And the devil loves to do a couple of things. He loves, first of all, second picture. First of all, the devil loves to divide. He loves to get people to fight and to argue. We've seen that in Ephesians. The devil loves to get people to... Next one. To disobey. The devil loves to get people to sin and to disobey and to say no
to God. Third picture. The devil loves to get people to doubt. And we've seen that in Ephesians already, as we kind of think, oh, we don't really grow, and we've got lots of unsure things. And fourthly, the devil loves to try and destroy Christians by making them suffer and feel very sad. And think about Job and the picture in the Bible. Well, that all sounds very scary, doesn't it? All sounds very scary, the kind of things the devil wants to do. But this morning, Paul is saying we don't need to be scared. You don't need to be scared. He says you can stand firm. The big message this morning is that even though we're in a war, we can stand firm. See if you can spot the word stand firm. Have a look in that Bible passage. Can you spot the word stand and stand firm? Can we spot the word stand firm there? In verse 11, we're told to stand. And verse 13, we're told to stand and to stand firm in verse 14. Christians this morning, we're told to stand firm. Right, we need a demonstration of what it means to stand firm. So, children, young people, adults, you can join in as well. Children, if you've come with a grown-up, why don't you try and get that grown-up to stand up? And grown-up, your job is to stand firm. Children, and everyone else can have a look around and see how the grown-ups are doing. Your job is to push that grown-up from where they're standing. Okay? Do you think you could do that? Okay, yeah, we've got a couple here. So grown-ups, you need to stand firm. Okay, this is the point of standing firm. I've got some kids up at the back. Aaron and Ian, you can get up as well. Okay, children, can you try and push the grown-up that you've come with? Okay, a grown-up, you need to stand firm. Yeah, let's have Matty and David as well. Why don't you come up here? Okay, Matty, come over here. Okay, good standing firm. Pete, you're doing very well with Abby there, mate. Go on, Matty, try and... Don't hurt your dad. Don't hurt your dad. This is for people on the live stream. Dave, why don't we try it the other way around? Why don't you try and get Matty to move? Oh, come on. Come on. Go on, put your shoulder into it. There we go. Okay. Oh, yes. Well done, Matty. Well done, Matty. Right, have a sit down. That's what we're talking about. This morning, God is saying to us Christians, you can stand firm. So you're in a war with the devil and you are to stand firm. And the question is, how? We're told to stand firm. And the great news is, it's not really about our strength. Because we are to stand firm. We are to stand firm this morning in Jesus, in his mighty strength. That's what this armor's about. We are told to stand firm. Now, we had all that armor, didn't we? Let's have a look. We've got some armor here. Okay. Now, we've got some armor here. And we're told to stand firm. We're told to stand firm in Jesus. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in Jesus and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God. Now, before we think about what it means for us to put on this armor, first of all, we need to know that this armor is first and foremost Jesus' armor. This is armor that Jesus wore. So one for the grown-ups. Prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament, he looked forward to a day when God's king would come wearing armor. And this is the armor that Paul talks about. And we can tell the story of Jesus' life through this armor. So you just think, Jesus, he came into the world wearing a breastplate of righteousness and a belt of truth. That means that Jesus came into the world and he always spoke the truth. He was the truth. He is the truth. And more than that, he wore a breastplate of righteousness, which means he lived a perfect life. That's what it means. Jesus came into the world and he lived a perfect life, a life of truth, a life always lived God's way. And what did he use? Can you remember when he was in the desert? When he was in the desert and Satan was tempted him? How did he defeat Satan in the desert? Well, it was with the word. He got out his sword, the word of God. And he defeated Satan through God's word by quoting the Bible. And also, how does Jesus set people free in the Gospels from evil? He speaks. Jesus' word sets people free from evil. And more than that, what happens? Jesus came and he lived a life of faith. He lived a life trusting God. So do you remember on the night that Jesus dies, on the night before Jesus dies, he's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's praying and he's having faith. He's trusting his Father. He says, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. If it's possible, take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will. Jesus trusted his Heavenly Father. He lived a life of faith. And then what did Jesus do after that? Then what Jesus did, he put on the helmet of salvation. He set his face to the cross. And he went to the cross and he embraced the cross for us. Out of love for us. He died for us. He put on the helmet of salvation. He won salvation for us. And then he rose again. And what did he do? He put on his sandals of peace after he rose. He put on his sandals of peace and he went and said to the disciples, peace be with you. And he proclaimed peace and he made peace between us and the Father and between one another as well. You see, this is all armor that Jesus wore. This is Jesus' armor. So actually, if we have a look, you know, when you wear a school uniform, your mums and dads or somebody at home puts in, belongs to Leah, so you don't get it lost. Well, look, this armor we've got here, we've got a label in there, and it says it belongs to Jesus. This is Jesus' armor. And that is really important for us to know because, first and foremost, we stand firm because Jesus beats the devil. Jesus wins. He goes to the cross. He dies. He rises again. Jesus wins. It's his victory. We are going to listen to a song. Jesus is the King. It reminds us that not only is he the King, but he's the one who's beaten evil, beaten the devil. He is the King. He is our Savior. He's the one who wins the victory for us, first and foremost. Children, you might want to clap along. There are actions to this. I can't remember what the actions are. But if you know the actions, you can do the actions as well. Jesus is the King.
Son of God, Jesus is the Lord. He's the one you can't ignore. Jesus, Jesus, he is the King. He is the King. He commanded the fishermen, hey, come follow me. And they did, and they did, and they did. Because Jesus is the King, ruler over everything. Jesus is the one, promised one, the Son of God. Jesus is the Lord, he's the one you can't ignore. Jesus, Jesus, he is the King. He is the King. He commanded the evil ones, hey, come out of him. And they did, and they did, and they did. Because Jesus is the King. Ruler over everything, Jesus is the one. Promise one, the Son of God, Jesus is the Lord. He's the one you can't ignore. Jesus, Jesus, he is the King. He is the King. He commanded the wind and waves, hey, be still, be still. And they did, and they did. And they did, because Jesus is the King, ruler over everything. Jesus is the one, promise one, the Son of God. Jesus is the Lord, he's the one you can't ignore. Jesus, Jesus, he is the King. He is the King. He promised that 3 days after death, he'd rise again. And they did. And he did, And he did, because Jesus is the King, ruler over everything. Jesus is the one, promised one, the Son of God. Jesus is the Lord, he's the one you can't ignore. Jesus, Jesus, he is the King. He is the King. He is the King.
Great, thank you very much. Okay, so quick recap. Okay, who are Christians in a war against? Quick fire questions. Who are Christians in a war against?
Devil.
Devil, thank you. Who's already won the victory? Jesus, excellent. What are we to do? Excellent, right. So the question is, how do we stand firm? What does it look like to stand firm in this armor of God? Now, to help us, Joshua, can you come up to the front? Okay, it would be lovely to use people that aren't my family, but COVID means that I can't actually sort of, you know, dress anybody else. So Joshua, you're going to be our volunteer. Okay, so we're going to think through now what it means to wear this armor, what it means to put on this armor and to stand firm in Jesus. And it just means stand firm by believing and living for Jesus, by trusting and living for Jesus. Okay, so we're going to put on the first thing. Is this this belt of truth. Right, Josh. Let's do this. It's a very big belt of truth for you, so I'm going to have to... Can you take your hands away? Well done. So I'm going to have to clip it at the end. Now, the belt of truth... the belt of truth means that we believe, that we trust that the Bible story is true. When we put on the belt of truth, we're simply saying we trust that Jesus really lived... that Jesus really died, that Jesus is really in heaven, and it's all true. And sometimes we have doubts, don't we? The devil loves to make us doubt. Sometimes we have doubts about that. And we've seen in Ephesians already that when we have doubts, we can speak the truth in love to one another. We can help one another by speaking words about Jesus that are true to one another. So that's the belt of truth. Then we've got... Oh, turn your head around, there we go. Then we've got, over that, we've got our breastplate of righteousness. There we go. Now, that means that we believe that when God the Father looks at us, he looks at us and he sees us as perfect. He sees us as Jesus. Now, devil would love, when we're on the naughty step, to make us think we've completely blown it and that God the Father is really grumpy with us. And he doesn't like us. But actually, when we believe that we are perfect through Jesus, we know we can never blow it. And God always loves us because he sees us as righteous. He sees us as perfect. He sees us like Jesus. And that actually makes us want to live like Jesus. It makes us want to live out that perfection. Great. So the next one, what is the next one? The next one is... it's the gospel of peace, isn't it? With your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. So we've got our sandals here, our sandals of peace. And so to put these on means that, first of all, we're ready to share the peace that we have with God with others. But it also means, let me put your foot in that one, but it also means that we speak words of peace to one another. Remember, the devil would love to kind of get us to live out lives that are argumentative and disunited. Well, actually, when we realize that we've been saved by a gospel of peace, when we've got the sandals of the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, we're quick to say sorry to one another. We're quick to live lives of peace as God's people, to live out that unity we've been thinking about in Ephesians. And you see how this is a good conclusion to the book of Ephesians. Next, what are we to do? We are to take the shield of faith. Next, we're to take the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. It means we trust God's promises. We trust. And this week, I was reading my Bible in my quiet times, and I was reminded that God will never leave me nor forsake me. Oh, great. And so we go, I believe that. I trust that. And that helps me to stand firm, to keep following Jesus. And we then... We put on the helmet of salvation, don't we? The helmet of salvation. You're doing great, Josh Alden. We put on the helmet of salvation, which is simply saying, I am saved. We are saved. Jesus died for me. Jesus died for each one of us. He is my saviour. He is our saviour. And then the last thing is we take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. They're the same thing, aren't they? Sword of the Spirit and the word of God. Same thing. And so we read our Bibles and we read how Jesus loves us and has saved us, and then we live it out. This is simply what it means to stand firm in Jesus, in God's, in Jesus' armour. To stand firm, believing and trusting in Jesus' victory and living it out. And God says we can do that, we can stand firm. Right, we need to check out this armour though, don't we? Right, you put that the last slide, the number 5 on. Okay, I wasn't expecting that one. Number 5 from the previous one. Now, here we go. Yeah, and the next one. That's it, great. So here are the things the devil loves to do. Well, let's check out how strong this armor is, okay? So what could we say? The devil is trying to make us doubt that we're really part of God's kingdom. Well, that's when we think, no, Jesus really has saved me. Oh, missed. Oh, look at that. It's great. Well done, Josh. The helmet of salvation works. Or maybe we're thinking, I'm not sure God is with me. And so we believe that promise and we have that shield of faith and we say, God never leaves me, forsakes me. Oh, well done. Excellent work, Josh. Or maybe we're tempted to divide. And maybe we think, now this is going to be a tricky one for you, particularly as I'm malcoordinated. Maybe the devil is trying to get us to divide and have an argument. And so we know, no, we've got on the gospel of peace, the sandals of peace. Can you see whether you can kick this for me? Have a go. Okay, I'm going to toss it up and see whether you can kick it. So not with your feet, okay? No, with your feet. Kick. Use your foot. Look, playing football. Have a go. Oh, almost. You can kick it off the stage for me. Great, well done. We're tempted to divide and have an argument with people in church. And we go, no, I've got the gospels, I've got the gospel of the sandals of peace. And so I'm going to be at peace. I'm going to be quick to be at peace with one another. Well done. That armor has stood up to the test, Josh. Well done. Thank you very much. You go, give Josh a clap. Oh, thank you, Lexi. So this week we are to stand firm. Stand firm in what Jesus has done. Believe that Jesus is real. Trust him. Believe all that he's done for us through the gospel and live it out. Now, I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask Kewin to come up and pray because there's a bit of the passage we didn't look at. We don't have time to look at it this morning. It talks in verse 18 to 20 about praying for all God's people, about praying for those who speak the gospel, who proclaim the gospel, and that they're to do it fearlessly. Well, I'm going to invite Kewin up to pray now for our mission partners, that they would be people who proclaim the gospel fearlessly. And there's some pictures up on the screen to help you concentrate, children, as well. Thanks, Kewin.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you have redeemed us and saved us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And you've given us just so much. And we thank you that we can share what you've blessed us with. And it is such a blessing to stand firm with our mission partners. And we pray for them now. We pray for Zambezi Mission Church Sunday Schools, that they will be able to reopen. We pray that the children will be protected, that they will love to hear about Jesus and want to follow him. We lift these little ones to you, Lord, and ask that you work in their lives for your glory. We pray for the Sunday school teachers. Heavenly Father, we pray that they use their training to teach faithfully from your word. And then not only will the children find faith and grow, but that the Sunday school leaders themselves will just overflow with joy from studying your word and sharing it. We pray for the students at the Bible College. We pray that you Heavenly Father, will equip them to lead churches, to stand firm. Please help them to study your word and to seek quiet time with you. We also pray, Lord, that they would trust and rely on you, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the good crops grown this year. You are a mighty, mighty God, and this is such a blessing to the people of Malawi. We pray for the River of Life Evangelical Church, who are facing opposition from Muslims and or from followers of African traditional religions. Please, Lord, give the church what they need to stand firm for Jesus. Bless them, Lord, and give them joy in suffering, and we thank you for them. Heavenly Father, it's great to partnership with Wellfield Church, and we pray for Mark, who is helping at the base, a community outreach food pantry project. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will bless the conversations with fellow staff and customers. Give Mark opportunities to talk about his faith in Jesus. We also pray for the new ladies who are attending the Bible studies. Lord, they've got complicated backgrounds and family situations, and you know these. And we pray, Heavenly Father, despite these difficulties, that you would bring these ladies into a close relationship with you, one where they can call you Lord and Saviour. We pray for Mark, who's starting a new preaching topic on fear over the next few weeks. And after this year of COVID, where so many people have been frightened, lonely, frustrated, struggling with work and debt, we pray that this series in your word, Heavenly Father, will help people focus on Jesus and reach out to him in their fear. We pray for the Broadfield update leaflet going out onto the estate with invitations to come to church. Heavenly Father, as this leaflet drops through the letterbox, may it be well received, read, and please, Father, put it on folks' hearts and desire, a desire to want to seek you and find your Son, Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, it's great to partnership with Helen Sheridan, working in Ireland with women. We pray for her to be able to build good friendships with the women in the community, that they will want to know more about Jesus and God's word. We pray with the women that she already reads the Bible with, that they would love you more, Jesus, and that they would love God's word and choose to follow him. We pray for her work with the after-school club for primary school age children, and that Helen would find creative ways to engage with the children over Zoom. Lord Jesus, we partnership with New Hope Church and we thank you for them. We thank you for Pastor Michael and Alice for their faithfulness to you and the way that they are so giving of their time and resources to the church and to the people in their community. Help them, Heavenly Father, to keep preaching that gospel, to keep growing in faith and trust. May they see real great fruit in their labours. We pray for the children who heard the gospel and responded at a recent event. May they keep hearing your word, Lord, and keep walking with you and standing with you, Heavenly Father. What a joy and a blessing to hear lives are being changed by and for your glory. Hallelujah. We pray for Pollet, a Muslim village. Heavenly Father, I'll have to use my glasses cleaners to wipe my eyes. Lord, a great work is going on where people's lives are being changed in Muslim villages. Help them to stand firm. Give them joy in their suffering, Heavenly Father. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the growing food project for the success when imported food prices are just rocketing. We thank you that families and young men are learning farming techniques. May they have success in their farming, and also may they grow in their relationship with you. We also pray, Heavenly Father, for those folks in our church who are poorly, who are struggling. And there are others that we know individually. We pray for those too. We especially pray for Ian Moss, Beryl Griffiths, and Pam Natman. Please, Heavenly Father, surround them in your love, give them joy in their suffering, and help them to stand firm in Jesus. Amen. Oh, I thought those prayers were going to take forever. Could do with a sit down and a cup of tea. What are we doing now? I think we're going to say the Lord's Prayer together. We haven't even finished the prayers yet. Let's say the Lord's Prayer. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We're now going to listen to the band play O Church, Arise.